Your car breaks down over time, and so do we. Your joints ache. It's hard getting old. We know this. TheTrustedLab.com helps me. I lead a more active lifestyle than I ever have, and I feel better than ever. Delivered to my doorstep, completely legal, lab-tested CBD, TheTrustedLab.com, based right here in Texas, TheTrustedLab.com. I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called ThePipeYardInc.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
I am fascinated by the scientific process of invention. And this goes back to the great scientists, inventors over the years, whether that be Gregor Mendel or Isaac Newton, Leonardo da Vinci. You know, when you look at the process they use to arrive at what ends up being the scientific breakthrough that we benefit from, you have to remember that what we take for granted, concepts of gravity or, well, for instance, on this day in 1633, Galileo, a great man of science, is forced to renounce his theory. He is forced by the Inquisition of Rome to renounce his theory that the earth revolved around the sun. 1633. The ecclesiastical power of the church would be equivalent to the power of, oh, I don't know, Dr. Fauci today and the Church of Fauci. Galileo theorized, and history would prove him to be correct, that the earth revolved around the sun without the basic bits of technology that would help you today prove that to be true. It's a pretty mind-boggling thing. But that contradicted the school of thought that the church was promoting. And so he would either suffer terribly or he would renounce. He would say, I'm sorry, in much the same way that you've been forced to wear a mask or close your business, keep your child home from school, or stand some silly 6 feet outside away from people. It's the way people have been canceled in this culture from their jobs, from their careers, from their positions, from their prestigious status in society, because they dared question. But I think we have to question. I think we have to question everything. Further to that end, we'll have a guest in the next hour who posits the theory that Bill Gates is involved in eugenics and population control, and that's the reason he is so deep into the vaccination mob. I know, it sounds crazy Alex Jones stuff, but guess what? So did a lot of other things that turned out to be true. Not all, to be sure, but I think we have to push some boundaries. And I think that when we look at the news and we look at the pattern of things occurring, we have to ask ourselves questions like, not why do I think someone's doing something, but why are they doing it? What is motivating that person? It doesn't make sense to say that the modern left wants to destroy the rule of law, that they want to create disorder and chaos out of our orderly society, that they want to destroy the establishment, the institutions. They want to destroy that which has been established and created and erected and built and stood firm and moored our society, grounded it. They seek nothing short of the destruction of stability. Criminals are treated like the good guys. Police officers are treated like the bad. Anything old is bad. Anything new is good. The young are celebrated. The elderly are being pushed out, whether by Obamacare or policies. It really doesn't matter. What's the result? Well, in a very short, tumultuous period of time, this level of tumult, as Rush Limbaugh used to love to say, this tumult is turning our society upside down. It is destabilizing everything that we hold dear. It is making our country ripe for a revolution, either from the right or the left, interestingly. The head of Portland's police union says morale is within the force is as bad as it's ever been before. Now, Portland's a city, and by the way, Portland was my first market outside Houston, and I was so excited, and I used to love, we used to go up and spend the summer there. It was a wonderful, wonderful city, and it still has some beautiful scenery and some wonderful people. People are always shocked when I tell them that some of our best listeners are in Portland, and they'll say, how can that be? That's a whack job city. Yeah, when you live in a whack job city and you're not one of them, then you really appreciate when someone points it out. A lot of good people in Oregon, surrounded by a lot of really nutty people. But in that city, the left has completely taken over. The mayor had to move from his the high rise where he was living because they were shooting bottle rockets up at his windows, and the families in that building were scared. So he just moved, but he refused to call out those who had done this. Antifa has taken over the streets. They have autonomous zones, which is a nice way of saying a place where cops can't even get in, a place where business owners can't open their business, a place where thugs have taken over like Somali pirates commandeering a plane. I'm the captain now. That's what's happened. That's what's happened. So Daryl Turner, the head of Portland's police union, says morale within the force is as bad as it's ever been before.
How bad is morale within the Portland Police Department right now?
Morale is as bad as it's ever been before. We're dealing with rioting at a level and a sustained violence that we've never seen before. We're looking at violence in our city, gun violence in our city like we've never seen before. We're looking at the most catastrophic staffing levels we've ever seen before. We're looking at budget cuts to defund us like we've never seen before. All those things play into the morale of a police officer coming to work every day, trying to do your job, trying to do it right, with all these roadblocks in your way.
George Soros has simultaneously funded Black Lives Matter, which is a terror organization, which has taken over the streets of the major cities of this country with riots, with cop bashing. He has simultaneously funded this organization designed to bring disorder to the streets, to society, while at the same time heavily funding district attorneys. Because if you're funding the bad guys who are tearing up the streets, you can't afford for your folks to get arrested and put away. So he's gone in and supported, even in Harris County, the county where I live, that used to be a solidly Republican county. They have invested heavily in getting Democrat district attorneys elected. And Kim Ogg, the one who's here now, the minute these bad guys are arrested, they are given a bond and cut loose and put out on the streets. Houston has the highest murder rate we've had in 30 years. And the reason is there aren't more murderers. They're the same number of murderers. They're just, when they're arrested, not put away. They're cut loose on the street to commit more murders. And that's exactly what they do. The kind of person that fires into a crowd or shoots people as a dispute resolution technique is going to do so again and again and again. Disorder is the goal. It's not an accident.
The Michael Berry Show. Michael Berry Show.
Better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
KT McFarlane has had an amazing career. It's amazing that she's done all these things as young as she looks, so we won't ask. But she was last President Trump's deputy national security advisor. She's the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. As his deputy national security advisor, she advised President Trump, obviously, on foreign affairs, among other things. She recently wrote prior to the G7 summit, Biden's European grand tour is full of opportunities for U.S. leadership. Will he seize them? Well, KT McFarlane, did he?
Nope. And that's the tragedy. You know, there's a lot of good feeling in Europe right now. And part of it, as Biden says, is he's not Donald Trump. And so he could have used that opportunity to get American leadership. And American leadership isn't just going to meetings and having guys slap you on the back saying, welcome back to the club. American leadership is getting countries and leaders to do stuff they don't really want to do. And what they don't really want to do is they don't want to stand up to Russia. They don't want to stand up to China. So they were reluctant to do anything other than to join all these nations to say, we're going to ask the World Health Organization, the guys who covered up for China before, we're going to ask them to do another study into the origin of the Wuhan virus, which is a joke on its, you know, dead on arrival.
What did you make of Biden coming back and 2 days later, the announcement with regard to Ukraine, which was clearly at the direction of Putin? What do you make of that?
Well, apparently, from people I've talked to, Michael, the decision was made prior to Biden going over. So he had already given Putin all these sort of goodies in advance. He had stopped aid, military aid to Ukraine. He had given the Russians the ability to have this Nord Stream 2 pipeline. He had kept American troops, American naval vessels out of the Black Sea, which is an international waterway. American Navy goes through there every year. He had let Putin get away with putting troops on the Ukraine border, and he had egregiously let Putin have Russian hackers get into critical American infrastructure, into the food supply and the energy supply of the United States. And even worse, to me, the most egregious one was when Putin and Biden went into that meeting in Geneva and sat down. That was at the very moment the Russians were having the largest military exercise since the Cold War, so in the last 30 or 40 years. And what were they doing? They were putting bombers and Russian warships right outside the territorial waters of Hawaii. That's a real slap in the face.
A lot of the body language. I don't want to make too much of this, but Angela Merkel seemed to be strutting around in the way Trump used to sort of show, I'm the top dog here, and Biden at the back of the crop, you know, afraid he'd be blown over. The world sees that, and China sees that, don't they?
Yeah, you know, and you don't want to make too much of it, but you need to make something of it, of the body language. And, I mean, I remember famously when I worked for President Reagan, and he had a summit meeting in Reykjavik, in Iceland, with the then Russian president, Gorbachev. And it was a cold day, and Reagan, who is a big guy and, you know, muscular and really a real commanding presence when he walks into a room, he chose not to wear a thick overcoat. Doesn't seem like much. But when he went out to meet and greet Gorbachev was all bundled up in a scarf and a heavy... So which guy looked like he was sort of a macho leader? It was Reagan. And yet Reagan was, I don't know, 20 years older than Gorbachev. So atmospherics do matter. And the image of Vladimir Putin, sadly for America, he got out there, had a press conference after the meeting. He was able to deflect and divert. And he just, any questions, nobody laid a fly on him, none of the reporters. And it gave Vladimir Putin an opportunity to sort of spew Russian disinformation. Russia's great, America's bad, et cetera, et cetera. And there was nobody to counter him. And then after Putin was finished, an hour-long interview, then Biden comes up in a half-an-hour interview And he just sort of looked old and tired. So atmospherics do matter. You know, the world is looking at America right now and saying, are America's best days over? They're dysfunctional. They had that economic crisis in 2008. They mishandled the pandemic early on. They screwed up in Iraq and Afghanistan. Maybe America is finished. Maybe democracy doesn't work. Maybe America is old and tired. Maybe it's time, as much as we may not want to, but maybe it's time to cut our losses and make a deal with China or Russia. That's what the world is trying to figure out now. And I don't think President Biden helped matters by looking the way he did next to Vladimir Putin.
You know, my wife was a young girl in India, and her family were all in the military. Jimmy Carter and Anwar Sadat took a victory lap when the Nobel Prize was awarded and the peace accords had been signed. And I don't think Begum was with them. I think it was just Sadat and Carter. And my wife's dad was pretty high up in the Air Force, and her grandparents were in the Navy. And so she got great seats on the front row on the parade stand. And she was so excited. She'd never met an American. She was so excited to see the leader of the free world was going to be coming past. And as they came through, she saw Sadat with all his medals and his full regalia, and, you know, how these third world dictators will you know, make themselves out the way Saddam did, the way Gaddafi did, to look like this big, powerful military man. And then she saw some guy in a baby blue suit with a real limp-wristed wave. And she thought Sadat must be the American president. And her dad said, no, that's him. And she said, you know, for a very long time, I thought, well, the U.S. can't be all that great because their president looked really weak. But I do think it's important, especially when it fits with a narrative that so many in the left are saying, which is that America's past its prime. It's in decline. Is China the rising star? And it's disturbing because this is not the image I wanted us to project, and it's not the image that I know you want for us. And the Reagan example is probably as good as anything. Talk about, if you would, Nord Stream in greater detail. Senator Ted Cruz said on my show a week or so ago that was a generational mistake, and that 20 years from now, the Russian dictator, whoever it is, will still be enriched by billions per year, propped up by this pipeline, at the same time that Biden killed Keystone. Talk about how important that is to the geopolitical stability of the world.
Russia makes nothing the world wants. The only thing Russia sells to the world are weapons, but most importantly, energy, oil and natural gas. And even in spite of that, Russia's exports of oil and natural gas had fallen greatly, particularly with the fracking revolution in the United States. So Russia's in economic trouble. So what does Biden do? He throws him an economic lifeline, and not only a lifeline, but a windfall. And Ted Cruz is right. The Russians are now going to be enriched by this gas pipeline. It's called Nord Stream 2, which goes from Russia to Germany and then on to the rest of Europe. So Russia now has got a guaranteed high-income stream for the next 10, 20 years of natural gas and energy. But the other reason that this is so critically important is the Russians now have the whip hand over the German and European economies, because Germany is completely dependent now on Russian energy. And the Russians have shown in the past that they will use the other pipelines they have through Ukraine and other areas of the Black Sea. They've used those pipelines to get concessions, political concessions, out of other countries. You know, okay, is Germany going to get cheap oil and natural gas? Yeah, I guess so. But at what price? You know, we, the United States, spend billions of dollars every year to protect Germany and Europe from Russian military advances and adventurism. And what do they do in return? They now become economically dependent on Russia. I think it was, again, a real big lost opportunity. Biden, I really hope that out of those European meetings, there would have been some statement of, we European nations, we're going to increase our defense spending, we're going to pay our fair share, or we Europeans, we're going to stand up to the Russians, right, whether it's in the Middle East or in Central Asia. But none of it happened.
And what are the consequences that it didn't happen? We'll continue our conversation with KT McFarland coming up.
The Michael Barry Show continues.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
KT McFarland served in the Reagan administration, and she served as Deputy Director for National Affairs under President Trump. We're talking about foreign affairs under Biden, and we're talking about her assessment as to the challenges facing this country under the Biden administration. When you look back at the advancements that y'all made and the successes you had in trying to move China in the right direction, and now, I mean, credible accusations of payments by the Chinese to the big guy through Hunter Biden, how concerned are you with China as our biggest rival, our biggest foe, our biggest threat?
That's the whole game, is China. China is, I mean, Joe Biden said it a year ago in the campaign. He said, hey, man, come on, man, China, they're our friend. They're not our competitor. They can't eat our lunch. And now he's come out just a month ago at the graduation ceremony at one of the service academies. He said, well, I know the Chinese president, and he believes that he's going to own America within a decade. So I'm thinking, okay, President Biden, I am really glad you are now awake and alert to the Chinese threat. But my next question was, okay, so what's the plan? Are we just going to say, okay, too bad, it's all up to China? I mean, that China makes no secret. It plans to replace the United States as the dominant world power economically, militarily, technologically, in cyberspace, and in every way. And then it rewrites the rules to suit itself and at our expense and the expense of free trading nations around the world. China doesn't want to have allies. China wants vassals. And as a result of the Chinese push, especially in the cyber area and the technology area, we're going to be pretty hard-pressed to keep up with them.
The Chinese inclusion in the World Trade Organization came only when the United States pushed to get them in. First, was that a mistake? And how long until the G7 includes them and it's either the G8 or someone with less influence is out? Why don't the Chinese push harder for that? Or are they, and I don't know about it?
I think that China doesn't want to be part of a G anything. It wants to be, at most, a G2. At the least they want is a G2, the United States and China. What they really want is a G1, China in charge. They don't want to be part of some big group. But secondly, the World Trade... So the reason this trading organization, the World Trade Organization, was important is that it allowed China to trade with the world, all the countries in the world, at great advantage. So the world said, okay, China, you're a developing country. We want you to become rich. We want you to become a more modern nation, and we feel that if you modernize, that you will then become more socially open in your society and more open in your economy. We'll all trade with each other. We'll all live happily ever after. But the Chinese haven't done that. They have abused the opportunity in the World Trade Organization, intellectual property theft. They continue to have favorable tariffs so that if a car is made in China or a gizmo is made in China, it comes to the U.S., it has a 25% tax on it. It's called a quota. I mean, it's called a tariff. If we make the same gizmo and send it to China, it goes in without any tariff or any tax. So, of course, it favors the Chinese industry. I mean, I really wish the world, and Donald Trump was ready to do that in a second term, we need to revisit that whole thing, because China may have been a poor country 25 years ago. Nobody thought that they would be as rapidly advanced as they were, but they're not a poor country anymore, and they do not deserve nor do they need any of these favorable treatment that they've had in the international economic organizations.
What would we have seen in a Trump administration as relates to foreign policy?
I think you would have seen a couple of things. Trump would have used the opportunity to forge alliances, starting with Great Britain, because Great Britain has now left the European Union. It's called Brexit. Britain's on its own. The first thing President Trump would have done is have a U.S.-UK trade deal, and then from that build out to other like-minded nations. Amazingly, we do not have a U.S.-European trade deal. We never have. And I think that would have been the first step. And then from building a U.S.-UK trade deal, which could have come very quickly and very easily, it would have been a boost to their economy, a boost to our economy. And then other Western countries or Western-minded countries, so democracies, free market countries, and I would include Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Korea in that whole group, we would have then been able to craft a coalition to stand up to the Chinese and stand together and not just talk about it, but actually have real economic penalties for the Chinese if they try to exploit us. The Chinese plan is to pick us off one at a time, picking off America last. And Donald Trump would have continued to put American interests first. But I'm not too, you know, here's my feeling. Here's my thing, because I get really depressed sometimes about, oh, my gosh, what a mess. But I really think that the country isn't full of a bunch of crazy people. Even a bunch of crazy people seem to run Washington right now. And I'm convinced that if we keep talking about these issues, especially people like you, that we then have a change in the in Congress in 2022 and a change in the White House in 2024.
I think you're right. This pendulum tends to swing back and forth, and you served in the Reagan administration, and Reagan should have won the nomination in 76, but Nixon's foibles and errors meant that Ford was president and Reagan couldn't win the nomination. But I think 80 was a swing against Carter and this international projection of weakness by the Americans. Americans are a strong people and a proud people, and we're not going to stand by while this old man projects this weak image and the rest of the world slaps us around. That's not who and what we are. And I think whoever can be the candidate that emerges as the counter to that, you've got in 2024 kind of a 1980 redux where you've got a Reagan Carter strength and weakness, promise and versus apologies, and it sets up very nicely. And I think you're right. I think Americans will by that time be quite tired of this.
Yeah, and you're right to point out the Reagan Jimmy Carter. To me, Biden is Jimmy Carter 2.0. And if you fast forward to where the nation will be two years from now, we'll have very high inflation, we'll have high unemployment, we'll have very low economic growth, gasoline, I don't know, what do you think, $6, $7, $8
wow,
a gallon? It's going to go up, and we're going to be a country that looks, we're going to be slapped around by everybody, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians. And so I think like Jimmy Carter, who had high unemployment, high inflation, high interest, low economic growth, and we were slapped around by the Russians and the Iranians, interestingly. I think that the American people, they'll make a big change. You know, it took Jimmy Carter. Things had to get really bad before people would take a risk and vote for Ronald Reagan, and I think things are going to get really bad. So America will take a complete change of direction in 2024. Not going to happen automatically. That's why, you know, people like us have to just keep making the case. But I think we will change in 2024.
What other countries stand with America against China and recognize the problems? That's my first question for KT McFarland in our next segment coming up.
The Michael Berry Show continues.
KT McFarland is our guest. She served President Reagan in his administration and President Trump. And we're talking about the role of America in the world under Biden versus Trump. And we've been talking about the threat that is China and what we can do about it. When you look at the Chinese threat and you talk about them picking us off one at a time and the U.S. being last, the British have made some pretty strong statements. I've spent some time in Ethiopia and you know, Tedros, the head of the World Health Organization, I think is a puppet of the Chinese. But the Chinese have come in and bought out some very influential people there. They've had an incredible amount of success there. What's the program where the Belted Roads, they come in and establish
the
these infrastructure.
Yeah.
Belt and Road Initiative. They come in and establish the infrastructure, and it's sort of like the crack dealer who gives you a little bit first, and they finance these things, and they get incredible influence in these countries. And there's a lot of resentment in Ethiopia and in other places in Africa as to how much and how much they ask for. They're very demanding. We've seen this. But have you seen other breaks in this? Are there other countries that you see other than the Brits and us that are willing to push back to some extent?
Yeah, and you know, I think the bravest country.
I guess
the
Australians.
Yes, exactly. How did you know?
Yeah, it hit me when I asked that. Yeah, but anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the Australians, you know, their biggest trading partner is China. A lot of their industry depends on exporting agricultural products and resources, natural resources, and to China. And Australia, little Australia, had the gall to say, we want to join with 100 other nations to look into the origins of COVID, and the Chinese turned around and said, how dare you? And they gave the Chinese leader a couple months ago, they gave him this, I think, 10 points or 12 points manifesto saying, we expect you to do this or else. And so in the manifesto, it was, we expect you to muzzle your free press. We don't want any criticism of China anywhere in Australia. And so the Chinese, I mean, the Australians, the brave Australians, they said, okay, this is a bridge too far. We've had it. And so the Chinese have really gone to economic warfare again. They're trying to crush China. They've stopped their beef imports, their barley imports, their wine imports. And the Australians, they're standing taller than ever. And God bless Australia. They just got a trade deal with Boris Johnson just last week, and that'll be a real boon to their economy. But I think that if you look at Australia as a canary in the coal mine, I think that a lot of other countries are saying, okay, you know, looks good at first, all these deals, but it's not good when you take a closer look.
KT McFarland, you are a treasure, a gem. Thank you for being our guest. Come back anytime, dear.
Okay, well, thank you. It's an honor, and it's really fun for me to have these in-depth conversations. So thank you.
You have so much experience and perspective to share. I just want to ask a question and turn off my mic and let you talk. It's a real treat. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
From foreign affairs to domestic affairs, I want to go back to where we started the show, and that is the left and their policies creating disorder. I think by design. When you enable bad guys, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, when you don't prosecute criminals, which George Soros-backed district attorneys across the country are now doing, you create an environment of lawlessness and instability. When this happens, you can see this on the high seas where the Somali pirates were taking ships and declaring, I'm the captain now. You create, the first thing you create is that people will divert their route. They'll take a longer route. It means that people will move out of the cities. We saw the white flight that began in the 70s and continued in earnest in the 80s, and it gutted the big cities. Cities like Detroit, Chicago, D.C., Baltimore, Houston, Atlanta, L.A., the result of that is that the only people left were people who couldn't get out, people who lacked transportation, people who owned in neighborhoods that went sour, so they couldn't get their money out. A lot of older folks, single moms, were trapped in inner city neighborhoods in a shotgun shack that they couldn't sell. Well, then what happened was, starting in the 90s, you had this renaissance. You had white liberals wanting to move back into the city. They wanted to be near where it was at. It started with gay communities. They're always the first to go into bad communities and make them better. And they do. They spruce up the homes. They make them look good. They create neighborhood associations. It's a fact. It happens. In Houston, you see it in places like Montrose and the Heights, Timber Grove, and now on the east side, what they're trying to call Edo, east of downtown. You saw it in Dallas. You've seen it in a lot of major cities. And then the young couples come in who don't have kids but eventually do, and then when they do, they tend to move out because now they want better school districts. Because, see, part of the decline of the inner city due to crime is that the parents who are most likely to be involved in the schools don't want to live in high-crime neighborhoods, so they get out. They take their kids with them. Well, when the school districts don't have parental involvement, you tend to have decline. And when the kids coming to the schools are being raised in tough neighborhoods, those tend to be tough kids. And the schools tend to reflect that. As the school gets more dangerous, fewer parents are involved because they moved out to the suburban school districts. Now the schools decline even worse, which makes it harder. These things become a snowball effect. And so now it's hard to get people to come into the inner city, even if they want to be there because of the art scene and the food scene and the retail scene and this sort of, or the close to proximity to downtown. But you can't get anybody that has kids unless their kids are going to go to private schools. And that often does happen. But over a period of time, as this happens, it just gets worse. San Francisco Police Lieutenant says that viral video, you saw the video, we posted it to our blog at michaelberryshow.com. The thug on a bike loading up his loot in a garbage bag from a Walgreens. Just going in there and taking, as long as you take under $1,000 worth, we thought that'd be a great game show. They'd have to take just under $1,000 worth. Who could get closest to $1,000 without going over? That the San Francisco police lieutenant says that's been going on in the city for a long time. Tracy McRae says we can have a greatest hits compilation of people just walking in and cleaning out the store shelves. And the security guards, the people who work there, they just stand by helplessly because they can't do anything. If you steal below $950, you get a citation and you walk away. And if you don't go to court, guess what? They probably throw it out. Well, guess what? That's only going to continue. So Walgreens will close the stores and we'll wonder why there are food deserts and nobody wants to open shops in the inner city. Must be racism.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
One of the things I have learned over the last few years is that what gets called a conspiracy theory probably shouldn't be quickly and easily dismissed, because many times it turns out they're true. You know, a year and a few months into the nonsense that is China's virus, for which, by the way, the Chinese government is nominating the Wuhan Virology Lab for a Nobel Peace Prize. You can't make this stuff up. It's true. But one of the things I've learned over the last year, and really over the last few, is that sometimes when someone has an opinion that it's easy to dismiss as a conspiracy, maybe you ought to hear it out. Doesn't mean you have to believe it, but maybe you ought to hear it out. And if you don't, then a lot of things that need to be discussed don't get discussed. Clay Clark is the author of Fear Unmasked, The Truth About the Coronavirus Shutdown. He's a former SBA Entrepreneur of the Year. He's the founder of Thrive15.com, a business school that's been seen on Forbes, Bloomberg, and Yahoo Finance. And we're going to talk about Bill and Melinda's disturbing foray, the Gateses, that is, into eugenics by way of the COVID vaccine. Well, you can imagine, Clay Clark, that when you say something like that, a lot of people, it's easier to just say conspiracy theory and move on. Why shouldn't we?
Well, first off, thanks for letting me on your show. I really do appreciate you lowering your standards by at least 5% to allow me on your show. And what we're going to do is let's give everybody a website to go to. so you can verify everything I'm saying. You know, Ronald Reagan once said, trust but verify. So here we go. Go to timetofreeamerica.com. Everybody listening right now, take notes, grab a pen, take notes here. Timetofreeamerica.com. Again, timetofreeamerica.com. First off, the models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die, those models are false. The models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die, the models out of the UK, the models that said 2.2 million Americans might die from COVID-19, those models were funded by Bill Gates. Three, the COVID shots, the COVID vaccine, the COVID shot, you got to get the shot. The shot's so great, you got to put billboards out there. You got to put it on Spotify. You got to run commercials. You got to let people have a chance to win the lottery. You've got to incentivize. You got to coerce. You got to push. The actual shots, the technology, okay, contains something called SM-102. SM-102, a.k.a. luciferase. It's an RNA-modifying nanotechnology. It has a magnetic component to it, which is why many people are failing the magnet test or passing the magnet test after getting the shot. You become magnetized. This technology was developed by Bill Gates. So I'm an entrepreneur. For the entrepreneurs out there or people who want to be, entrepreneurship is simply solving a problem in exchange for a profit. Well, now, what if you created the problem, right? So what if you created the problem, they create the fear by saying that 2.2 million Americans might die, and the only way to get us out of the doom loop, out of the fear, to get back to normal is to take the shot. And the show, so you fund the models and you fund the shots. So Bill Gates funded the models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die, and he funded the shot. That's a fact. Now, if you want to get into where did the virus itself come from, if you type this into Google right now, just type in Dr. Fauci funded the controversial Wuhan laboratory. You'll see that Dr. Fauci actually funded the controversial Wuhan laboratory using U.S. dollars to do what is called gain of function research, something that no Christian scientist would ever do, because gain of function research involves taking a naturally occurring coronavirus from a bat or an animal of some kind, a bat, and you wrestle the bat out of a cave, and you mix the bat tissue, the naturally occurring coronavirus animal tissue, with fresh but never frozen, that's the actual technology, that's the actual terminology, fetal tissue, to help the virus gain function. You would try to increase the lethalness and the transmissibility of a virus. That's what gain-of-function research is. And guess who sits on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation board? Oh, this just in, Dr. Fauci. So the models that said that 2.2 million people would die were funded by Bill Gates. Those are false. The COVID shots are funded by Bill Gates. They're not good for you. And the actual creation of the virus was funded by a man who Bill Gates controls.
So what is Bill Gates' game here? I mean, we know that Bill Gates has been involved in some really, really sketchy stuff for a long time. He personally benefits because he invests in a lot of this stuff, and I think he'll end up getting, making billions more off of the vaccinations and the sort. But what do you think he personally gained
from
this?
Well, let's do that. Let's just rhetorically ask ourselves, what was Mussolini's goal? What was Adolf Hitler's goal? What was Joseph Goebbels, the chief propagandist for Adolf Hitler? What was his goal? What is Satan's goal? You know, why did Bill Gates choose to spend his free time with Jeffrey Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein is the guy who, world's most prolific pedophile. What was Bill Gates doing with Jeffrey Epstein? Type it into Google. Type it into DuckDuckGo. Ask yourself, why was Jeffrey Epstein working on creating his own race of people? Yes, Jeffrey Epstein was creating his own race of people. Why does Jeffrey Epstein have an island temple? Why did he have a temple on his island? Was Jeffrey Epstein praying to Christ or to Satan? Why does Bill Gates have a spiritual advisor by the name of Marina Abramovich? Who's Marina Abramovich? Marina Abramovich is a spirit cooker, a.k.a. a Satan worshiper. So Bill Gates, his spiritual advisor, is satanic. So if your spiritual advisor is satanic and you choose to spend your time with a Luciferian by the name of Jeffrey Epstein trying to create your own race of people, what is your motive? You're evil.
What made you get interested in this?
I grew up really poor, and my thought one day, I was like 14, 15, was I don't want to be poor. So I thought, well, what's a problem I could solve? So I recognized that wedding entertainment was a terrible service for most people. Most people spend thousands of dollars planning a reception, and people leave early because the entertainment is bad. It's America's largest wedding DJ entertainment company, where we would do almost 4,000 events per year. It's called DJConnection.com. I've since sold it, and I went on to then reach out to dentists, and I said, hey, Mr. Dentist, I bet you I could help you grow your business, but I would just like a percentage of the upside. And I did that with dentistry. Long story short, I work with 160 clients now, and we do over $4 billion a year of annual revenue, these 160 clients. And how do I do it? I find the biggest limiting factor, and I follow the money, and I figure out what is a scalable path to grow the company. And I discovered that in America, the vast majority of my listeners to the Thrive Time Show podcast, which is a business podcast, and I recognized that a lot of our listeners, their biggest limiting factor was they weren't allowed to open their business. I mean, how are you supposed to grow a company if you can't be open? And so I thought, well, you know what? If I've got a million listeners in January of 2020, and they're all asking me, how are we going to grow our business if we're going to be forced to be shut down? I decided to take my focus, put my blinders on, and to deep dive into what was going on. So I looked into the models, and I discovered the models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die. Those were false and funded by Bill Gates. The PCR tests are falsely calibrated to inflate the number of cases. The man who invented the PCR test, Kerry Mullis, has said on camera that Dr. Fauci is a nefarious pathological liar. And the treatments for COVID-19, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and budesonide, are proven to work. And they're affordable and effective. And I thought, well, if the models are false, the PCR tests are false, the treatments are real. And if Bill Gates is the guy who puts together the software that runs the elections, and we're experiencing election fraud and medical fraud, perhaps we have a war against Bill Gates, George Soros, and China. And so I started talking about it on our show. I've decided to do a Reopen America tour to share the truth. And our Reopen America tour, we just did an event at Rhema Bible College. We had 7.1 million people streamed that event. We had 50,000 people request tickets, 4,500 people in attendance, absolutely full. We killed the spirit of fear. We shared the truth. We gave America an action plan to get back to God and to get back involved. And then we're going to Michigan, 8,000 people in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then we're going to Colorado Springs. And now we'll be announcing our Texas location here. But your listeners right now, if they go to thrivetimeshow.com, they can get their tickets by going to thrivetimeshow.com. And what's awesome about this event is that the tickets, you can name your price. And so most people have never been to an event where you can see General Flynn and Mike Lindell and Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell all in one place in space. That's what we're doing. We're going to reawaken America. And I really do believe that our hope is the hope of his calling, as proclaimed in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18.
Clay Clark has more to tell us about all the craziness going on in the world. We'll talk to him about that coming up next.
The Michael Berry Show. Michael Berry Show.
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010. I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe piles, sign poles, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE. Clark has some crazy conspiracy theories about Bill Gates. The only thing crazier would be if they turn out to be true. And guess what? I'm not sure they're not. The book is Fear Unmasked, The Truth About the Coronavirus Shutdown. Let's talk about Bill Gates and Melinda Gates, because at the time they were working in concert. They may be separated and warring now, but I think they share probably some of the same goals. You have talked about, and it's been written widely, that Bill Gates is part of this group, that the degrowth movement came out of Europe, the Green New Deal crowd, a lot of this, the population control, reduce the population, and you believe that his involvement in vaccines is a part of all that.
Yes. I mean, Bill Gates, if you go to brighteon.com, it's like the word bright and then eon, B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N, brighteon.com, and just type in Bill Gates depopulation. You can see Bill Gates, the videos you can't find on YouTube, you can see Bill Gates talking about the road to depopulation involves vaccination. Bill Gates has a consultant by the name of Marina Abramovich, who is Luciferian. He is the man making these RNA-modifying nanotechnology-filled vaccines, a.k.a. shots. Bill Gates is a nefarious individual, and Bill Gates is a problem.
And Bill Gates somehow weaseled his way into a position of influence on a matter of public policy and public health that affected each and every one of us. How does that happen?
Well, it says in the Bible, 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." See, the thing for me is, like, I'm on the show with you right now because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. But you're not paying me to be on your show, and I'm not paying you to be on the show. And, you know, if you have sponsors, I have no problem with that. But I don't allow anybody to sponsor my Thrive Time Show podcast who's a Luciferian idiot. I won't go out to dinner with you if you offer to pay me. I only go out to dinner with you if I want to. I'm not the kind of person that does things for money. I won't do it. I have many clients reach out all the time, potential clients. They want me to help them, and I won't do it. I'm not going to help you grow your vape shop, your liquor store, your casino. I'm just not going to do things for the love of money. I'm going to do things that help humanity and serve God. And most people don't make decisions that way. Most people will do anything for money. I mean, you see it all across America. We're saying, oh, we should legalize marijuana for the kids. What are we talking about? That doesn't even make any sense. I mean, think about these slogans. These politicians say, we need to legalize marijuana to help out schools. Are you kidding me? Have you seen the kids who are raised by potheads? We're going to help our schools by allowing marijuana to become legal. We're going to open the casinos to help our kids. Have you seen kids whose parents go to casinos? It's unbelievable. It's just total and complete jackassery. You see Republicans that are voting in favor of legalizing abortion because they're being paid. Most people do things for money, and that's the problem.
I'm going to take you through a couple of boxes of kind of teasers for topics that are on your website at timetofreeamerica.com. And if you would, just make a sentence or two statement on that. One of them is the truth about Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Fauci is a nefarious person who's been in office since the early 80s. He was never voted in. And this guy has made it where the vaccine companies simply cannot be sued. They can put your kids, they can fill your kids full of fetal tissue, animal tissue, a variety of things, and they have no liability at all. It's a money-making scamocracy.
The truth about mask mandates.
Wearing masks makes healthy people sick. The research from Dr. Jim Meehan and others shows that. And the idea of wearing a mask is the modern equivalent of muzzling people to keep them from talking back.
The truth about Black Lives Matter, parenthesis, George Soros.
Black Lives Matter is an organization that stole the sentiment Black Lives Matter. It was funded by George Soros, who admitted on 60 Minutes to being a Nazi. The founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, is a woman who admits to praying to a demon by the name of Aoife. Black Lives Matter, the organization, is crap, and anybody who is following the organization has been deceived or is crap.
The truth about reopening schools.
The idea about closing our schools, the lethalness, the deadliness of COVID-19 is very, very low, but it's almost, kids just simply cannot die from COVID-19, according to the research of Dr. Scott Atlas, Dr. Richard Bartlett, and others. And so closing schools to protect kids from COVID-19 makes zero sense at all, and it is an attempt to use our kids as a bargaining chip for these unions to get what they want.
The truth about COVID-19 case inflation.
COVID-19 case inflation. Basically, if you take a PCR test, the PCR test is falsely calibrated to inflate the number of cases. So if you take a COVID-19 test, it's going to be false positive because COVID-19 tests should never be, we should never use a PCR test for a COVID-19 test. It basically is just a bunch of false positives which are causing fear.
Well, and you look at the case, Oakland County just a few weeks ago announcing that at least 25% of the cases that they said the person died of COVID, the person died but happened to be positive and not because of COVID. The truth about the government-mandated shutdowns.
The idea of the shutdowns, it's all part of the Rockefeller plan. And if you go to timetofreeamerica.com, you can download the Rockefeller plan by clicking on the Great Reset button. Rockefeller plan is a plan that's been around for over a decade that calls for quarantines, curfews, shutdowns, and one world government.
And that's how you control the people. The truth about mainstream media and social media censorship.
The idea is that if you look at the media, the mainstream media that we watch today, it's all controlled by six corporations. And those six corporations are all controlled by communists who hate America. So whether you're on social media or whether you're watching mainstream media, you are being controlled and influenced by China.
The truth about renting religious leaders.
Many religious leaders, including T.D. Jakes, will say whatever you want them to say in exchange for a book deal. They refuse to stand up and share the truth, which is why they are the false prophets described in the book of Matthew.
The truth about the deep state.
The deep state is a basically it's George Soros, it's China, it's Bill Gates, it's people that throw around a bunch of money to see who they can get to do whatever they want to in exchange for money.
The truth about the COVID-19 testing / DNA harvesting.
COVID-19 / DNA harvesting. Essentially, every time you take a COVID-19 test, what you're doing is you're participating in DNA harvesting. And so the bad guys are learning more and more about you and your body.
What really happened inside the Washington, D.C. Capitol, presumably on January 6th?
There was a group of paid actors that were there to create commotion and to serve as a catalyst to get good people to do bad things.
Proven COVID-19 therapies and treatments.
The 100% effective and affordable COVID-19 treatments consist of budesonide, ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, but we can't do that because those are cheap and easily dispersible. We have to do something really expensive that the government controls. The truth about 2020 election voter fraud.
The 2020 election fraud is not unprecedented. I mean, that election fraud that it's occurred in the past. It's just America was so overwhelmingly in favor of President Donald J. Trump that Trump served as sort of a trumpet to alert America to the presence of election fraud.
Clay Clark is his name. The website is timetofreeamerica.com. Everything we've talked about and plenty more, lots of resources, lots of citations, an opportunity to sign up and receive their newsletter, and much more. Clay Clark, thanks for being our guest, my man.
Hey, I really do appreciate you. Again, if you want to get out to the Health and Freedom Conferences with General Flynn, Mike Lindell, and myself, go to thrivetimeshow.com. That's thrivetimeshow.com. You can name your price. We want every single person to attend.
Thanks, buddy.
You should wash your hands, you dirty pig.
Come on, keep washing them. Go ahead, scrub, 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 scrub. There you go, that's right. And we're just washing our hands of lies and fake news around here.
Whoa, ducky, you're the one.
As we scrub your ears with more of The Michael Berry Show.
Listen to our show very long, you know that my number one cause that we spend the most of our capital, collateral, energy, capacity on is veterans with PTSD. There are so many needs in our communities, but this is one we've chosen to focus very hard on. And particularly the PTSD Foundation of America and a facility called Camp Hope. It's in Houston, but it is available to anybody in the country. We raise millions of dollars every year, all of which goes to this organization, this program. It's probably the lowest overhead organization in the country dealing with veterans with PTSD because there are no fancy offices. There are very few people that get paid out of the organization, and the only people getting paid are the executive director and the staff. who are themselves delivery providers. Look, I'm not going to bash any other cause or charity or whatever. I don't consider this a charity because it's for veterans. But there's an organization called Navigator that gives a score to organizations and says, out of the money you raise, how much do you put into what's called programming? If you're raising money for cancer research, how much of every dollar goes to cancer research? Because if your CEO is making millions of dollars and you got a bloated staff, it's just like public education, how much is actually going toward the education process? I'm very proud of the fact that Camp Hope is taking almost every penny and putting it into programming, and the only overhead are some expenses to get the veterans back and forth to their medical appointments. Most of our food we get donated, but some of it goes to food and electricity, and there are expenses to the operation. And then some staff members and the executive director, who, in my opinion, is very, very underpaid for what he's worth. But that's okay. He would have it no other way. He's a former pastor, and that, you know, this is a ministry for him. He's never not working. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he gets a call from a veteran that has a pistol in his mouth about to end it all because he spent 4 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, and nothing makes sense anymore. David's out of bed and on his way to the veteran to save his life, and that's what happens. And I just want to say that from the last 8 years that we've been involved, Ramon, myself, Chad, our whole team with Camp Hope and the PTSD Foundation of America, so many of you have responded and helped this organization, which is these veterans suffering from PTSD. And it has made a world of difference. If you know somebody who is in trouble, who you think is struggling, I want to give you this number, and I want you to urge them to call. I can't call for them. They have to call. But once they do that, there's going to be a veteran that picks up on the other end of the line. And that veteran will have been through what this guy's going through. He will be a veteran who served in combat, who himself was suicidal, who was probably addicted to meth or alcohol or any cocktail of self-medications, who went to the VA and got 35 different pills to deal with pills to deal with pills, whose marriage fell apart, who was separated from their family, who might have been arrested, who might have been living under a bridge after coming home, a war hero, and ended up in a bad space. So let me say this. The veterans who've been through that become counselors and help other veterans. And this is available free to the veteran because we raise the money. There's no government funds. It's all our listeners and other people who donate and contribute of their time and money because they care. So if you're one of those people, I want to say thank you. And if you know a veteran who needs help, it's a six-month program. It's an intense commitment. It won't cost them a penny, but it will save their lives because we lose over 20 veterans a day to suicide, and we're determined to stop that, to save these lives. You can go to PTSDUSA.org, PTSD Foundation of America, Camp Hope. Look it up if you can't remember that address. Or if you'll write down this number, a veteran counselor will pick up the phone when they call, and it won't cost them or their family a penny to go through every bit of it. 877-717-PTSD, which is 877-717-7873. If you know somebody who you think needs help, write that number down and have them call. 877-717-PTSD, which is 877-717-7873. I spoke to the executive director, David Malsby, today, and one of the things that is very disturbing, June is PTSD Awareness Month. One of the things that is very disturbing is how many folks suffered during the last year, a very dark time. There was a lot of fear, panic, paranoia, negative news everywhere. People were at their worst. People going to the grocery store and yelling at other people over their masks. people afraid that everyone else was passing them some deadly virus. It was a very, very dark time. And that's if you were already in a good position. But a lot of Americans suffer with mental health problems. And PTSD is a mental health condition. It's triggered, it's caused by serving in war and the trauma that results of combat. And it's a trauma I can't understand because I haven't been in it. But I have spent a fair amount of time talking to veterans who've been in this program who share. And based on what I process from what they tell me, it is a horrifying thing. So get help for a veteran you know who needs it. 877-717-PTSD. And to every one of you who've helped the organization with your time and your money over the years and who continue to, and for those of you who served there at the program, thank you.
This is the Michael Berry Show.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Daytime show. The older folks are leaving. You know what's funny? We have a lot of old listeners, and I love that. You know already that older folks eat dinner earlier. I didn't used to do that. But now I do because I fast for 24 hours. And so during the week, I have to eat when the show's over. But on the weekend, I eat early. Like 5 or 5:30, whatever time a restaurant will start serving dinner. And my wife doesn't mind. She's a good sport. But it's interesting, if you go into a restaurant and eat dinner at 5:30, it's nothing but you and old people, like 75, 80, because that's what they do too. They eat an early dinner so they can get home early to watch the wheel or maybe Tucker Carlson or whatever it is they're doing. But it is so interesting to watch a restaurant transition from the older, younger crowd, older, early crowd to the younger, later crowd. Every restaurant has that moment. The lights get dimmed down, the music gets put up, and it just sort of changes over. Anyway, that song for our show kind of made me, it kind of made me think about that. So there are a couple of posts on our blog, michaelberryshow.com, that I will direct you to. One of them is, in Oakland, they had a Juneteenth celebration. And so there are a lot of people, I think it's 5,000 people, crowded into this space having festivities. Whereupon, as often happens at large gatherings of black people, I know that's very upsetting to hear me say, but unfortunately it's true. You know what should be upsetting is that it's true, and not that I said it. I'm not sure how long in this country we're going to continue with this pattern where you find out somebody shot into a crowd of 5,000 people, and you don't even doubt for a moment. It's not an Elton John concert. It's not a country music concert. It's not a classical music concert. It's not a golf gathering. You know that if there's a story about somebody shooting into a crowd of people, that it's going to be a black gathering. Now, I realize that does not help my career to say, but if you actually love this country, why don't we address this? Because guess what? Everybody wants you not to say this because it's good for blacks that you don't say. Guess who's getting shot? White people don't go to festivals of Beastie Boys cover bands worrying that bullets are going to ring out. If Weezer or REM or Green Day is having a concert, all the white people, the angst-riddled white people, are not angst-riddled that somebody's going to fire into the crowd. This kind of nonsense is far too typical. But then you double it up. So some shots break out in Oakland, and there's several shooters, several firearms. 5,000 people were present. About 6 o'clock on Juneteenth, and as the ambulances arrive, one dies, 7 wounded. As the ambulance pulls slowly into the crowd won't part for them because, you know, we're dancing. We can't. Well, what about the lady over there in her 60s bleeding to death? I got my dance on. Okay. Well, so the crowd won't move. The EMTs get out to go help the people who are bleeding to death who've been shot. And these women jump up on the ambulance and jump up on the top and on the hood and on the windshield and start twerking. Well, I did it for the morning show. I suppose I'll do it again. I'm now going to provide your translation app for what twerking is in case you didn't know. Twerking is a dance, I'm sure, created by fat women, because twerking is a dance that you cannot do if you have a little skinny butt. The point of the twerk, if you'll imagine with me here, this is a very white moment in radio. And now for highlights in white radio, Michael will explain to his old audience what twerking is. So the woman, men should never twerk and really never do. The woman spreads her legs to about shoulder width, maybe slightly more. The wider she can get, the lower she can get. So it's good if you're both flexible but fat. Well, you don't have to be fat, but you got to have a big butt. And so then the woman goes down like she's doing a squat, whereupon she shakes her butt in what my trainer Michael Petru would refer to as a pulse, and she shakes it in this manic fashion, causing the booty to jiggle. So as you can see, if you got some fat on your butt, you get more jiggle, you get a better twerk. So these women jump up on the ambulance. The ambulances get the people in the ambulance who are bleeding to death. And these women will not get off the hood or the top of the ambulance so that they can rush them to the hospital to possibly save their lives. Now, how did we end up here? How were these people raised? Why does nobody talk about this? There is a racial component to this, and we all know it. This isn't a black people are bad. This is a something's wrong. This is a sign of a problem. Look at not only the murder rate increase, but who's doing it. This isn't a problem that cops are causing or racism is causing or climate change or slavery. This is a problem that's getting worse the further we get from slavery. Why is nobody talking about this?
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.